Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Ruthie, let me start by throwing this at you. Let me throw this at you. Are you watching or have you watched Alone on Netflix?
No.
Do you know about it?
I have no idea what that
even is. Well, sit down. I don't know why you stand during these podcasts, but please.
I'm usually doing leg lifts.
Please stop doing deadlifts and put the microphone in a.
Let me fumble. Oh, so sorry. I thought I was exercising.
Well, Al Madrigal, friend of Dad's the podcast. He turned me on to this show Alone forever ago. It was like on demand, and and now there's a season 6 that's on Netflix. Just that season for some reason. Anyways.
Okay.
They drop 10 people completely by themselves in different parts of an outdoor region. They would never cross paths. They're so far away from each other. And they film themselves. And the idea is who can survive the longest. And you're not allowed to ever know where you stand in the group of 10. So when you get dropped off from the helicopter, you've got all your equipment, but now you have to like build your shelter, you have to get food. A lot of survivalists are like compete on this show, but it's just insane because whenever you're ready to give up, you radio in and they come get you. And that's when they tell you, "Oh yeah, you got fifth place." Or, "Oh, you were second place. You would have won if you would have held
out." Oh my God. It sounds like you're like covered in scabs and you're like, "I'm fifth place."
Yeah. I've watched that show. I want you to watch that show.
Okay.
All I've come to realize is I have no skills.
Where would you place in Alone?
I 10th. Either I die.
Uh-huh.
Or I bail very quickly. I mean, there is wildlife out there. You have agreed to be a part of this experiment of sorts. And the grand prize is only $500,000.
Well, I don't
Who wants to be a millionaire was a half hour of your life for $1 million. And all you have to do is know some stuff that will never, ever be applicable to your survival. But this show that is about the just bare bones of surviving in nature as the human species... Half that. You get half that amount of money.
What has become of our world?
Yes.
I don't
know. Oh, you're able to live and actually, you know, bare bones survive in a way where if all people were gone, you might actually be able to carry on the human race. Here's $500,000. Good for you. Not even $1 million.
Yeah. You can't even really buy a house in Los Angeles with that. So good luck.
And now for the $1 million prize. Who did Patrick Stewart play?
Can I phone a friend?
You know what? Let me call someone to get the right answer.
Right, and Alone, you can't call anyone and be like, help me.
Hey, bro, it's me. How do I start a fire again? Just a basic fire, because not only am I cold, I got to cook this fish.
No. Oh, my God.
It is very interesting how it all works. And here's why I bring all this up, because our guest today is my closest friend to being a survivalist, and it's only because he lives in Colorado. He also doesn't know any of the shit we're talking about.
But we're going to pretend like he does.
He has a beard, which he when does. You see someone with a beard and flannel, you're like, someone's cut down a tree before. Yeah,
he's able to start a fire.
I bet he's never even held an axe. He's one of my very good friends. He had a show with his friends on True TV called Those Who Can't. We did three seasons of it, and I was honored to be chosen by him and Ben and Andrew to get to be on that show playing what I now know is one of the most fun characters I've ever played on television. It was a lot of freedom. They were like, yeah, just do whatever.
Oh, that's
and
great.
And then I would do whatever, and they go, maybe stick to the script.
I doubt it.
But we also want to mention, before we bring him out here, that this episode is dropping the day after the election that we've all looked forward to and haven't had any anxiety about in any way whatsoever. And we can't see the future. So as I give you this intro, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but hope to God and pray to the universe that it's going to be an outcome that makes this country a better place. But whatever happens, I can tell you that our conversation with Adam Caton Holland is incredibly funny and it's thoughtful, and hopefully it'll be a nice escape for everybody from this week. So without further ado, here he is, Adam Caton Holland. You, sir, are the father of a baby boy. Look, and our listeners understand this. Did you actually want it to be a girl and you didn't get what you wanted?
Stop it.
You can tell us.
No, we didn't find out the sex. And I thought boy the whole time, and Katie thought girl. And then we got to the hospital, and she was like, it's a boy. And I was like, okay.
How did she know? Are you mean after the baby came out?
No, she just had like a premonition, something about walking in. And I was like, I've been yelling that at you for 9 months.
Yeah.
And it was a boy. Lo and behold.
What made you think it was a boy? Was there a part of you that was hoping it would be a boy?
I would have been fine either. What's the cliche? I just wanted a healthy baby.
But once you are having a baby or have had one, you go, oh, that is not a cliche at all.
No,
you are like, just be healthy and let's all be happy. That's all we care about.
We had a little scare where we thought it was coming prematurely, like way prematurely, but we've got out of the woods with that. So yes, you're very much just like anything healthy. But I don't know. I think I'm the only person last named Caton Holland. I have two sisters, one changed her name and one passed away. So I'm the only Caton Holland.
Yep.
So I've kind of felt this like it's time for the family name to continue. Like I feel this Game of Thrones.
Right? There is something primal about it where you're like, yes, the name must live on. But then you're like, who even gives a shit?
I even thought about that for me, and I was like, well, that can't happen for me if I have a. I mean, I guess, but
put
like,
your foot down.
This day and age, you put your foot down and you say no, sir.
Yeah,
like I've got a hyphenated last name, and I've decided to pass this burden of confusion and misspelling on to the next generation.
When your child, your young man that you're raising in your home, when he gets sick, what level of calm are you? Like, do you freak out? Are you like, get on the Facebook mom groups?
Is this your first child?
It is my first child.
Right?
But yeah. I'm curious where Rory is too. I'm sorry, Ruthie, do you have any kids?
I don't have any kids and I'm not a dad.
I am Panic Mountain. She's a non-dad. You're either a dad or a non-dad on this show.
Oh, she's an undad.
She's undadded.
She's been on ABC, undadded.
Tonight.
I was initially pretty hysterical, but I've crossed into like, is his finger still attached? Then, okay, we're not going anywhere with this kid.
Yeah.
So I've gotten chill, but I feel like outside factors have made me way chiller.
No, I'm curious, like, did you always know that you wanted to be a dad or like, you know?
I think I did. I was I coached a soccer team and I was a substitute teacher. And I found I was very good with the little kids, like four-year-old, 5-year-old. Once it got older and they had complex problems, I couldn't handle any of it. But I really liked the little kids. So I think I've always wanted to be a dad for sure. And my wife, I mean, early on, she was kind of just straight up was like, if you don't want to have kids, let's not waste time because I don't really want to be in a relationship with someone like that. And I was like, okay, serious stuff.
I think that's a good way to be.
She was upfront about that. So that made me sort of be like, yeah, I totally want to have kids. We'll cross that bridge. But
I like
never,
that. If you've got a life plan, it's like, you got to speak up. You don't want to,
you don't want to get too far down the road. And then you're like, but maybe, you know, you really want to get that settled out. Yeah, yeah. Right, well, out of the gate.
And I think previous relationships had been wishy-washy on that front. So it's kind of like, hey, I don't want to waste time with you if we're not going down the same road. Yeah. And I was, and there wasn't any like, grow up now, Adam. I was like, yeah, that's fine. I do want to have kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you find a year and a half in, are you surprised at the dad that you are right now? Are you kind of like, is it kind of what you pictured your self to be? I'm definitely way more of a short fused lunatic than I would have thought. I thought I'd be
surprises
hip and cool.
Me about
maybe
you.
My day is coming. Maybe I'm gonna be so cool one day. But
I've seen you. I've watched you dad firsthand, Rory, and you're what I'd call a grade A goof. You're goofy with your daughter.
That is true. But that's not even goofing. That's just me.
I've seen him firsthand, grade A goofing.
Yeah.
Quote me on that.
Yeah.
That might be my album title right
there.
Yeah,
seriously. Grade A goofing. Yeah.
I'd tune in for that. I can see when he picks up a ball and he like wants to throw it, I get excited in a way that's unnerving. That's in a way like I'm going to be his coach and I'm going to be a monster of a coach. And I really have to sort of silence that because the sport, and he's way more into trucks. He likes playing with little trucks. He's a little aggro boy's boy.
Yeah.
But when I see a glimpse of sports in him, I become a suburban dad in a second. And I'm so excited. My wife's like, you're going to ruin it with like how into it you are.
Yeah.
And I've got to sort of scale back and let him find the game.
There's a balance though. You can ruin it, but you can also inspire it. If they see what you're into, you know, then suddenly they're into it. Like dads who cheer for whatever team, and then suddenly the kid feels so like prideful of that team too. I mean, that is passed on generationally. You see it with horrific sports teams. People are still passionate. It's like, oh, your dad was clearly into it because there's no winning to get behind. Yeah.
Well, there's this 5-year-old kid on the block named Teddy, and he's a little athlete. He's like ripping on his bike. And
oh, he's been on the show. We've had him.
You've had Teddy? Yeah, he's great. He's very great. He's just very skilled for a 5-year-old. Yeah. So I watched the Last Dance documentary with Michael Jordan, and I saw that Michael Jordan's dad kind of showered Michael Jordan's older brother. So I'm doing that to Teddy in front of Malcolm. And Malcolm sees it and is a little puzzled by it, but it's a long con. I'm planting seeds here.
Yeah. Instead, he's going to grow up being like, so that guy's not my brother?
Because Teddy, dad was hanging with Teddy all the time.
Yeah. He was always, they like went and got beer together. Mm-hmm. I think Teddy's like his best friend.
Smash cut to me at like Teddy's high school games, just like his dad wants me to leave.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you find yourself in moments where you feel like you sense and feel and see a little bit of your own dadding?
Yeah.
When you're in your dadding zone, are you like, oh my God, that's exactly what my dad would have said or done or did do or did say?
I guess so. I think, you know, my dad, you've met my dad, and he is...
By the way, Adam's dad also may be a guest on this show one day. His dad is
awesome.
A gem. He is a gem.
A lot to unpack. You guys might need to do a double episode.
It's true. It's all very true.
But he contrary to a lot of comics fathers that I know, he's the most overly supportive, and I can do no wrong. Like, he loves me so much, and he's so into all the things I do. So, like, but it's honestly lost any meaning because he just praises you all the time. So he'll come to a show, and I mean, he'll call you the next day, and he'll be like, it was like you were George Carlin up there. Yeah. Like, you were, and you're like, Dad, it's kind of hyperbolic. It's a little much.
Dad, I bombed, and you know it.
You
no,
know
you
bombed.
Didn't. You yeah. were saying something.
So it's just like this. This insane level of devotion. And I think that's what I say there.
That specific moment that Adam is talking about is so very real that his dad is such a dad. He's even said that to like me after a show.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm not even joking. I wanted to hug him and just for a split second, pretend that it was my dad. Like, oh my thank God. You, Dad. I wish I would have said thank you, Dad. He would have been like, I get it. That's why I said it.
Oh, my God. I mean, he could start a whole support group for comedians.
My dad
right?
should, like just hang out at UCB's.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just backstage. I got to.
Yeah. We wouldn't need comedy anymore.
Yeah, the medium really... just dies. Yeah. It's like, you know.
No one's got any problems anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, you finally made up with your dad? No. I got lunch with Adam's dad, and that kind of did it for me.
Yeah. What does your dad do, Adam?
Put on your seatbelt.
Yeah,
here we go.
Buckle
he's
up.
He's a civil rights attorney and a very accomplished one who just is constantly doing great stuff, like gotten people out of Guantanamo Bay and always suing the police in big racism cases and sex. He's just like a heroic attorney.
Yeah.
So he's just like the kindest hippie turned civil rights lawyer who just really loves everything I do. And so I can see that side with Malcolm that I don't, that any, as like, it's also like, there's never been a kid this smart at 18 months ever, probably. Yeah. Like, I'm already saying shit like
you're
that.
Right.
I'm like,
yeah. You're right.
So I think I got to scale back on the overt praise because I know it loses all meaning if you just constantly give it.
Oh, that is interesting. We talked about that on another episode. The we were theorizing if it's generational, like, if your son will actually be more like your father as a father and your grandson will be more similar to you, because it's always a cause and effect of like, oh, Adam's dad was very supportive. So Adam's like, I don't overdo it. And then your son is like, I don't know, I kind of would have liked it. I'm going to make sure I give my son tons of support. And it just keeps.
Right. Like I overcorrect and become a stern Dust Bowl father. And just send them out to the outside from fucking sun up to sunset.
Do we need to do this? I thought we really. You're doing great. You're on the road a lot. What's going on?
Yeah.
Just get out there and do the farm. We don't have a farm.
Not with that attitude.
I'm plowing our yard. We're not even growing anything.
I think I'll be quickly just turn into my dad. I don't think I'll overcorrect it because the kid can do no wrong.
I think it's good. You turned out good. You obviously had your troubled days, but you came through.
Yeah, sure,
you survived
buddy.
It.
Exactly.
I guess I'm curious, like when a dad is so positive, like yours is, like how does he respond to you when, you know, obviously as a human, you've made a mistake or done something
very violent. He's ridiculously violent.
He lashes out. He has these nunchucks that he's not trained to use, and he just comes into the bedroom. No. He was the one that, like, if he was mad, you sincerely fucked up. And it is also the old, like, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. And it crushed you type of thing.
Yo, it stabs you right in the face.
That's like, that's more. Like, that's my more God. Powerful. Yeah.
And my mother's very loving as well, but she would be more of the disciplinarian. So if dad got involved, it was pretty serious stuff. Yeah. And there were a couple times in my life where I really did some dumb things. And I can remember my dad being like, I didn't raise you like this. And it's just like, oh my God, you're 100% right. And it means it means a lot more when it's rarely used. So maybe I'll steal that move from my dad.
Yeah, I love
you
that.
Saying that just now, it feels like it boils down to passing on how you discipline and passing on how you praise. Literally just those two things are so...
For real.
They're so pivotal in maybe, molding a good person.
Yeah, and I honestly, I... jest with about my dad, but I don't think there's anything wrong with just loving the shit out of your kid.
No,
and
it's
being,
great.
And being blown away by everything they show you and telling them, oh my God, it's so great. It's so great. Obviously now as 40, I can be like, Dad, I know it wasn't that good of a set and you need to stop it. But like,
stop coming to my open mic shows. Come to the like bigger gigs.
Yeah, exactly. I do a lot of shows that mean something. This was nothing.
Yeah.
My dad comes to all of our monthly Grolic shows, which is like the indie comedy show in Denver.
Yes.
And we bring in comics who are our buds, and Rory's been on that show and at a festival, I think he has. But so my dad has developed like refined comedy tastes. Like he loves Kate Berlant, and you know, he's like a deep cut. But your average father is not like, oh, I love John Early's sketch videos and like most people are like, you know, the guy with the puppets is funny.
And you know, I think that's almost just broken. I think it's just broken down to the amount of support. Cause I know what you mean. Like my sister used to come early on to my open mic stuff when we didn't know what it even was.
Right.
And then I remember after I had done like maybe 6 or 7 open mics, she was like legit critiquing every comic. And I was like, yeah, I guess once you see kind of behind the curtain, which only takes being in front of the curtain in a repetitious kind of way, you somehow see behind it.
Yeah, 100%. He's a smart dude. You guys should totally have him on. He told me the other day.
We will.
The other day. He goes, I think I'm funnier from coming to your stand-up comedy. And I was like, no, not at all. Definitely not.
No.
But I think that's a sign of you can go to enough shows to, like, even a someone like your dad can sit there and go,
civil rights
funnier,
attorney.
Funnier than this guy.
Yeah.
Like some random person at a show.
Oh, he's totally
I can do
that.
Better than I can do.
Well, I went to South Korea and did a bunch of shows with Kyle Kinane.
Oh, cool.
And my dad was like, I've never been to South Korea. I'll meet you guys there. And he and I went on to Japan afterwards. So my dad flew to Seoul and started going. He came out for a couple of days, went to shows. It was just fine.
God, I love that.
He let me be free to do my comedy, but we hung out in the days. It was a lovely time.
Yeah.
Then at my wedding, at which Rory was at, my dad gets up to give a speech and he just kind of goes, I remember when I was in South Korea with Kyle and Adam, and Kyle had this joke, and then he just starts telling Kyle's joke horribly to a wedding full of comedians, and everyone's like, is your dad just butchering Kinane material as a toast
at
your wedding?
But also in front of him.
In front of Kyle. And it was just this surreal moment. And I mean, the speech just went on, and it was a fine speech, but for 5 minutes, we were lost in this vortex of my dad just ripping off Kyle Kinane.
Just doing a cover.
Just doing a cover.
In front of the original artist.
It was very strange. It was a very strange wedding toast choice.
Yeah.
Do you, so you have, siblings. Adam wrote an incredible book for our listeners who don't know, Tragedy Plus Time. And I highly recommend it. I've known Adam. How long have we've known each other?
A while, man.
God, I don't even know. But getting to know him through that book is incredible. So I want to plug that book heavily. But I want to ask you, this level of like so much support that your dad gives you, do you think that was like spread out evenly, or because you were a boy, he was like, this is my guy. This is my little truck guy.
Yeah.
It was definitely spread out evenly. But I do remember, in fact, it was the opposite, because my older sister, who now works with them, they're partners in the firm, she was a very good figure skater, like no joke, Olympic track, fancy tournaments and coaches and stuff. And my dad was driving her to that every morning, like for out, you know, she'd get up at 4 and go figure skate. And
you see like documentaries about those parents and you're like, Jesus Christ, I'll never love my kid that
no
much.
No way. No. And now even Anna's
dance
like,
dad.
And Rory's now Anna won't even take her kids to a school one neighborhood over, but it's like, my parents drove you around the world for figure skating. But anyway,
it skips generations. There you go. Skips generations.
Yeah.
But he spent a lot of time with her, and they were very close, and that was a nice relationship. And I remember when I was maybe 11, he kind of took me on a trip to Chicago to visit his family, and we went to a Cubs game, my first baseball game, and it was very much I'm not spending enough time with Adam type of trip. Right. Like I'm spending way too much time with Anna. So I need to like sort of spread this around
a little. Good to be aware of that.
Yeah. But so in fact, it wasn't like I'm dad's guy. I think it was kind of like, oh wow, I need to put this out around more equally. So I think he wound up giving it to everybody.
See that happening when you've got like the eldest, you know, it's like, oh, well, this kid's been here the longest. I'm just naturally in tune with what this kid's needs right. are. And then Adam shows up and it's like, look, turn 11, pal. Then I'll take you to the Windy City.
Why don't you draw some more weird pictures for a while? Yeah. And I'll see you at Wrigley Field.
I'll see you at Wrigley. 11. Oh, if you can get there on your own.
Yeah. Good luck. The game starts now.
I love that. Adam has an intense passion for Rockies baseball. To the point where following Adam on Twitter, like it's almost like open discussions with like the front office. Adam's like, guys, who we think about grabbing this year? It's like, Jesus, Adam's really plugged in with the Rockies.
There's this Southpaw named Teddy on my block who is outstanding. Yeah. If you guys want to get him into some sort of youth league.
Yeah.
I think it'll motivate my kid to try to get into high school baseball.
But what if he isn't into baseball?
Would I still love him? No, definitely not.
Yeah. Completely get rid of him.
I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that. Kind of like relevant to that. How are you talking about like the spending time with your kid sort of when he came home and we were still living in a world where we could go out on the road? How are you balancing that and how is that affecting you? Like emotionally, because I know for me, it took a really heavy toll. Like
totally. And I can't even imagine how hard it is when they're cognizant of you leaving because he was at an age that like I was getting into a nice rhythm of like two weekends on the road a month, you know, and if I could space it out the next one home, you know, alternate weekends, that was fine. But as he was entering the age where he's like, I'm aware dad's leaving. Really, it coincided with this. And so if I was to leave right now, if I miss a good night at nap time, he's like, dad, he wants me there for all of it. So it has been this sort of weird silver lining is all this time with him. But when it gets back to normal, he's going to be like, what?
What are you doing?
Yeah. And so I haven't had to deal with it, and I'm lucky that as he became aware, I've got to stay here with him. Yeah, but yeah. I don't know, but I've tried little tricks. Like I've been trying to send postcards when I'm on the road to my.
Oh, that's.
I'll just like write a postcard and send it home to him, which is I would do for my wife when I was gone. She would come a lot of the time I'd send her a postcard. And as soon as he was born, I was like, oh, I've never sent my wife a postcard again. I just send him postcards. I should probably alternate. That would be a smarter move.
No. I like what you're doing. I think you're going to find yourself in a real cool place down the road.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Sending this one-year-old postcards he can't understand as my wife just silently fumes.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam, hi. I read our son, his 100th postcard today. I remember those days when I would get them.
Not even a tell your mom I said hi.
Not even a give your mom a big kiss.
Give your mom my best.
It's even worse. Like, how's your mom? She's still breathing down your neck? Yeah, she does that to me. Yeah. Like, just on a postcard.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
What are you doing to stay busy? Are you like, I mean, there's got to be moments where you and your wife are like, all right, you got the kid for an hour. I got to decompress. I got to get away.
It's weird. And you talk about like, you know, wanting him to get the right amount of germs and stuff, so he grows healthily. Also, there's like this social development that's happening right now. I took him to my parents' house yesterday, and as I was leaving, I had a bunch of crap. My mom bought him so many toys. So I'm like doing one trip to the car to unload the toys. And I just kind of just left. I wanted to test him. I just left the backyard. He's with my mom and dad.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything. I just walked out of the backyard to the car. And I asked my dad how he was when he came back. And they said he like looked, and then there was like quivering lip. And then my dad's like, hey, here's a truck. And he was fine. And honestly, that feels so tiny, but in this world we're living in, it was a huge moment. I was so proud of him. And he just came back and he's like, okay, dad's here. It's all good. Yeah. I was with grandma and grandpa. It's fine. Yeah, I was proud of the little dude.
Yeah, that's
and
so
he's
cool.
You know, he's definitely a mama's boy too, but it was just, my wife wasn't there. I just took him over to my parents' place and I used the moment to test the little guy.
I like that you're doing that to him. I like that you're doing that. We're not going to report that. You can, this is a free space to talk about, you know,
damage you're doing
to your child. I guess that's stuff that I didn't even think about either, because I think you just get wrapped up in your own kid, at least in this moment in time, you just get wrapped up in your own kid, where they're at and what their developmental thing is, that truly not even till we started this podcast, specifically this episode with you, that it even occurred to me the germs thing, or even that you just said, where it's like, oh, there's so many little lessons that we learn as people that aren't like focused lessons. You know, I think in the middle of a regular world where there's no pandemic, you probably don't even take note of the fact that you're teaching him the, hey, I'm going to bounce for a second, I'll be right back. Like, that might have become so normal that you might not even have noticed the first time it would have happened with him, because you'd be like, yeah, I'm just right back. And we're not as focused on the carefulness of our lives as we are now.
Yeah. It's development under a microscope. I mean, we had a nice little routine of, you know, everybody's got their lives just upended, but we had a nice routine of like, you know, Tuesday we take him to this bookstore for story time. And then Wednesday he's got a music class. And then he started going to gymnastics, and he really liked, you know, tumbling around with the other 1 year olds.
Yeah.
And all that's gone. So you're really heightenedly aware of just trying to give this kid normalcy and interaction.
You can only do so much when you get on your kid's level. They know that you're getting on their level, but they know that you're not a kid, you know? Right. It's not like they're like, oh yeah, I can now really just be myself in front of my dad. When when you see your kid be a kid with other kids, you haven't even met that person yet. Yeah. That you're like, oh, even at a young age, they don't fully unleash this thing to their parents. They're like protective of it.
Dude, you're exactly right. There's the neighborhood kids. He's not totally isolated. So he sees the kids playing. There's two families and they're 4 or 5, and he'll go on the front lawn and he'll yell at them and they'll be like, hi, Malcolm. And they see each other.
Yeah.
But he was walking on our little brick fence out in the front yard. It's not enough to walk on. And he kind of fell, which it's fine. But the neighborhood kids saw him do that. And then he literally just goes, ha, ha, and like acted out his fall again. For them, he's like, aren't I funny? I was like, I've never seen this ever. God. He just played these kids for laughs and made fun of how he tripped. I didn't even know he could do such a thing. It was amazing to see. But it's stuff like that you're talking about, Rory. It's just like, wow, you just saved face using a joke in front of the neighborhood kids.
At a year and a half.
I've never been prouder of you. That was amazing.
Like, to understand the application of that, but to understand what that ammunition he even has in his artillery, to even know like, oh, I'll do this because it'll defuse this. Like, that's a year and a half of like survival.
Yeah.
Like the survival brain
100%.
Kicks in.
Yeah. And then I come in running. I was like, oh, you think that's funny? And I just start telling them jokes.
And you did like 5 minutes.
Come on.
This dad.
Come on. Do you have any new stuff?
Yeah. And then you guys went inside. Your kid's like, I'm not opening for you, okay?
Yeah.
What if he was like, Dad, I want to be a comedian? That might hurt more.
Yeah. What would you feel if Elliot said she wanted to be a comedian? What would you feel?
I honestly don't know. I have thought a lot. It's hard to not go. I think when you're an enlightened person, I think just means you're modern. I think to be a modern person who gets it, you look at your kids and you go, I get it. I've seen and I've read and I understand the idea of being so hard on your kids, you try to push them into something. And I'm not going to be the person who does that. I'm going to be the person who supports them on whatever the thing is they like to do.
Sure.
Maybe that's a form of enlightenment. I don't know. To me, it's just how you should be.
No, it's a great, it's the ideal way to parent.
Yeah. But I there is still a part of my soul that is always like, oh, I don't know what form of the arts, but if my kid just went into the arts in some way, because I love the word art. I love the word. I love the label artist. I love that title. It makes me feel so good. Like just the word artist feels like you are totally your own thing, and it's your company is your company. What you do with it is what you're going to do with it. If that's what she like went into to some capacity, I think I'd be so happy. But then in the back of my head, I'm like, but what if she's like shitty at it?
Don't get me wrong. I love our art form and stand-up comedy, but I don't know if I worship at the altar of it the way some people do. I'd be so much happier if Malcolm's like, I want to do music. I'd be like, yes.
I would think that would be the coolest. If she was painter or like
writer
or...
Both your kids are going to become astrophysicists, you guys. Both of them are going to go into science.
Like, but even then you go... You know, just as long as they're happy. But first off, you're like, just as long as they're healthy. Then it comes, just as long as they're happy. I don't care what they do. But it is like, you don't want to project and you don't want to push them into anything. But if my daughter was like, I'm a badass guitarist, I'd be like, fucking you.
Or a painter. If my kid was like, I want to be a comic, I'd be like, listen, I know some of the funniest people on the planet. I know some of my friends are the funniest people on the planet, and I don't even like what they do. So,
and I don't watch their stuff. I retweet it, but I don't watch it.
I support them, but I would never sit down and watch their new hour. And they're so good at it. Not a chance. So I suggest you go elsewhere. I'm not going to push it actively, but I will not refuse him that if that's what he wants to do. And again, he crushed with the kids out on the street, so he's got a knack for it.
Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. This was so much fun.
Thanks for having me.
Let Teddy know we are big fans and we can't wait to see him out on the pro ball fields.
You'll see him. Just let me stick with him for another 10 years. You'll see him out there.
Oh, we know. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, man.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
I swear, I think we really should start doing follow-up episodes where we have guest dads come
their
on.
Their dads. And then we find out that all the guests are lying to us about their youth and their relationships with their dad. But I will say, if we ever do have Adam and his dad on this show, you world of listeners will be so grateful because his dad is an amazing man. Adam, you heard from the conversation. He's an okay guy. He's so accomplished. He's done so many things. Adam's all right.
He'll be fine. The neighbor kid seems to love him a whole lot.
The neighbor kid is a big fan, and that's all that matters to us. And that's who we book on this show. If a neighbor kid likes you, reach out to us. We'll get you.
You don't need to have a publicist. The neighbor kid vouches for you.
Folks, we're obviously joking. That's what we do here at Dad's the Podcast. We let loose. We have a good time. You enjoyed this good time, there's more ways for you guys to soak up the splendor that is Adam Caton Holland. He has he's the author of a memoir called Tragedy Plus Time that I could not recommend more. It is an absolutely incredible read. It's very personal. It's very vulnerable. And I could not recommend it more. That is Tragedy Plus Time. And don't forget to check out his comedy special. Adam Caton Holland performs his signature bits.
Yeah. And if you want to learn more about Adam, follow him on Twitter at Caton Holland. That's CAYTON. He's so fun. I really enjoyed talking
to
him.
He's the best. And he's a survivalist. He's an outdoor survivalist. I proved it.
He's going to be on the 7th season of Alone.
That's right.
Heard it here first, right?
That's a dad's exclusive.
That's it for this week. That's all we've got. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Dad's the Podcast is produced by Jen Samples, Nick Liao, and me, Ruthie Wyatt. Our executive producers are Joanna Solotaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Will Becton and Anya Jeshik. Our theme song is by Strange Hotels, with additional music by John Danik. Special thanks to Sean Doherty.
And as always, you guys can keep up with all things dads by following us on Instagram. It's at Team Coco Podcast. And if you love the show, get on Apple Podcasts. Give us a review. Give us a rating. Do it. Tell a friend. Tell 10 people. This is not a pyramid scheme, okay? It's a friendly suggestion to say, hey, do you guys want to listen to great conversations about parenting and other things? You know, practice that in a mirror. But then once you've nailed it, then go out to your fan base. Just like picturing that we don't call our friends friends. We call them our fan base.
The fan base, yeah.
And really pitch it to them. And I promise you, Ruthie and I will never forget that very good deed that you did for us. Thank you guys for joining us, and we will see you next week.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.